WGMU, thanks for tuning in today to WGMUradio.com, Mason Cable Channel 8.2, and also the Radio Flag app. I'm joined here with the one, the only, Wolf. He is a Chesapeake native, and he's here to talk about his music. Welcome.
What's up? How's it going?
It's going. It's going well. I can't believe you came all the way here, like 3 hours.
I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
Dude, we're happy.
This is my first time on George Mason campus, actually.
Yes,
so.
And you're live, and it's awesome.
Yes.
So let's talk about how you started up. How did you first start your rapping career? How did this idea happen?
So I did not rap my whole life. I loved hip-hop from a young age. But my junior year of college, I actually graduated from Virginia Wesleyan, so this is about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I know college kids tend to stay up a little later. So I'd never written a verse up to this point, and then it just came out of me at 3 a.m. that morning, the second semester of my junior year. And then I wrote a full verse, and it was pretty good. Since then the rest is kind of history after that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's different than most. I fell in love with hip hop before that. I've always loved it, but it's just like being able to write it and loving mm-hmm. it are two different things. So.
Mm-hmm. So you said like that one experience where you're like, "Hey, I'm gonna start writing this. This is gonna be like a legit thing." So, what steps did you get to like creating that?
So basically, I started writing by myself, and then it so happened that my suite mate was also a rapper, and he had some moderate success mm-hmm. in the local area. It wasn't that big, but it was somebody that I could go to get advice from. And so we ended up doing a song together. And the song got really, especially for at that time, it was really big. Had a lot of listeners, and mm-hmm. and my verse was really good. And then this local label reached out to me, and who I'm no longer with, but so I can't say their name. But they reached out to me, and we put out a few mixtapes together. And then, it's kind of bizarre thinking about it just for me right now, because it's every time I get on stage or anything, it's like surreal almost, because mm-hmm. it kind of just happened in a really strange way.
It's really cool, like also your suite mate being a rapper, like it kind of was a step up and like you were able to gain experience from what he's experienced, so that's really awesome too.
Yeah.
So where did you get like the lyricism and all that, like the production, and how did that come about?
Well, my lyricism, I studied hip hop from like the roots of it. Like I guess you can call me a hip hop head or whatever you call it. Like I mean Tribe Called Quest and Rakim and I could go on forever and name names, but that's who I studied first. And I took this great class at Virginia Wesleyan called Politics and Hip Hop, where I really started to learn about where hip hop originated from and what it stood for. It was a voice for the voiceless, and even though I'm obviously not African American, and it was rooted in African American struggle. That idea of the voice for the voiceless is something that I really connected with, and I feel like I respect the genre and where it came from, while also expressing my own side of it. Mm-hmm. So that's where my lyricism came from, just listening to artists that I like. But I also created my own style mm-hmm. through that. I mean, nothing's original, in my opinion. I think music builds on itself, so I have a lot of influences. But I think my the lyricism just came. It comes from really just my personal experiences, and it just comes out. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a really awesome class, politics and hip hop.
Yeah, sure, I was a political science major, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's why that class really just changed a lot for me.
I feel like, did they talk about Kendrick a lot and like?
Yeah, you know, we got in. This was actually before to Pimp a Butterfly came out. This was before I even rapped. I took that class.
Oh wow!
But it was a great class. Shout out to Dr. Mm-hmm. Brooks from Virginia Wesleyan. He really taught the class in a way where you got the roots of hip hop. A lot of the mm-hmm. There were a lot of female rappers who were expressing feminist ideas, mm-hmm. which I am a feminist, openly a feminist. A lot of like Queen Latifah. Not a lot of people know that she was a not only a rapper but a great rapper at one mm-hmm. time. So there's things like that, and she was speaking, you know, female empowerment messages back then. Just learning stuff like that and learning what hip hop, because hip hop now, if we look at it from what's on the radio, what's in the mainstream, it's a little bit, it's a watered down version of what it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and you're trying to bring that back, kind of like that poetry and that meaning.
Yes, the meaning, music. Yeah, poetry and the meaning especially. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that my beats are boring, because they're definitely not.
Oh, no.
But like, I have a little bit, I try to mix the main, I don't want to say mainstream sound, but I try to mix a sound that people enjoy with lyrics and meaning and that connects with the audience in a different way, while still staying true to like what hip hop is about.
So when did the performance started happening? Like, when did you start performing?
The first big performance I did was at the Norva in Norfolk, Virginia. Sweet. It's a pretty one. It was rated the number one venue on the East Coast. It's like very intimate, but it's big, but it's very intimate. All the big artists go there. I opened for Biz Markie the first time at the Artistry Festival, and then the second time I performed at the Norva was opening for Juicy J, which was a different, that was quite the experience.
Juicy J was actually here last year for Mason Day.
So. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see him. He played that one song, I forgot. The Money song. The Money, yeah. That
oh,
song.
The Money song? Yeah. Oh, the One Money, yeah, that One Money song. Yeah,
it's pretty good. So, do you have any future performances coming up? Are you planning to go on tour? Anything like that? Or?
Oh, I'd love to go on tour. I just opened for Moosh and Twist. Oh,
okay.
Who they're an up and coming. They were a touring rap group. That it was actually a nationwide tour they did, and I opened for them. I don't have any immediately lined up. Christopher Newport. We're in talks, my manager that's sitting over here is in talks with them. We're lining up, shout out to Xavier, my manager. But, so for next semester, we're lining up shows and stuff. But the last major show before Moosh and Twist, I did Shagfest, which was at the amphitheater, Virginia Beach Amphitheater.
Okay, cool.
Diplo was the headliner, and Pusha T, Travis Scott.
Did you get a chance to meet them?
Yeah, because I was on the main, like, so there's a couple stages, but I was on the main, I was on the main stage, so I was backstage and I saw 50 Cent walk by me. He's the only one I didn't talk to. I was terrified. I was terrified, not because of just he's so much bigger than he looks on TV. Like, you know those guys that are really buff and their arms don't go down all the way.
Yeah,
that was 50 Cent. Like, and I moved away. We were meeting paths in the hallway, and I moved against the wall as he walked by.
Yeah.
But the rest of them I was able to talk to. Like, Little Dicky, I talked to him. He's really cool.
Okay, cool.
Daya, who sings that song.
Oh, that Chainsmokers song?
Yeah. She's really cool. She's really, really nice. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so sweet. So do you plan on just, in the meantime, just performing in Virginia, or would you want to, like, go out, like, maybe outside of Virginia, like Maryland or...
Yeah, that's the next step.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. We've gotten a good enough following and a fan base through the shows that I've done to where, like, the next step is to expand. So right now we're coming here. We drove here, George Mason, trying to reach out to anybody here who loves hip hop and loves real music, and so we're doing that first, and then the next step will be to perform out of the state of Virginia.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. That's really exciting. Let's talk about your newest LP, Wonderland. So how did that come about? What was the significance of, I listened to it. It was really awesome.
Oh,
and like, there was great lyricism, great beats.
thank you.
So what was the general theme that you were going for?
Alice in Wonderland, the book, especially by Lewis Carroll, was my main inspiration for it. I've always been infatuated with that book. It's so complex, and most people just kind of think it's weird, and it is weird, but it represents a lot of different themes that are very, saying that it's deep doesn't really do it justice. It's like a very complex, mind-boggling book. So I really wanted to try to represent some of the themes that I found, that I connected with in that book.
Yeah. And it's really fitting, especially like for Halloween and stuff, because like this is kind of the craziest time of the year.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's really, really. If you haven't listened to it, it's on SoundCloud. It's amazing.
Oh, it's also on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play.
Okay.
And I also have my own Pandora station, Wolf Radio.
Oh,
so
sweet.
WOLFE.
Oh, you radio. Also talked about. You also talked about your fan base through your performances. Is there any other way that you've gained a fan base, maybe through social media or anything like that?
I had the benefit of starting off rapping in college. So at a small college, especially, where I was able to gain a good fan base through just
the community
of that. I performed at Wesleyan multiple times. I was like, that really was instrumental in getting just the bass fans, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the ones that have been there since the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so that was like the good start for me. Because every musician, if you're listening and you're trying to do music, like getting your first 20 fans, not just people who support you, but fans, like people who are anticipating every song yeah. that you drop.
Yeah.
It's very important. That's the most important first step. Because mm-hmm. it's very hard. There's a lot of people that try to make music. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, the access of a microphone now, you can, and with the technology, people can make music that's lower quality. Mm-hmm. So you have to stand out, and you mm-hmm. have to reach out and get those 20 or so bass fans to start out. And it's really been helpful for me, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. A way that I've learned that is, especially through theory, like communication theory,
right.
like you have to reach out to the opinion leaders. The opinion yep. leaders will reach out to their followers and
oh,
so
yes.
on. It's like an ongoing cycle, you know?
Absolutely.
So. But yeah, I definitely hope that you get big. Like
oh,
you get really famous and people really listen to your music because it's really powerful, like in all ways. Like
yeah.
it's beyond like, you know, you have the Mac Miller vibes, you have like the J. Cole
right.
vibes, and it's kind of like a mix of all that. And
yeah.
not a lot of artists have that. And then and you also said like there's like, you can never be original, but you could always
right.
like add on to what's already there.
I truly believe that mm-hmm. there's a difference between biting someone's style, which is copying essentially, mm-hmm. and being using a song that has affected you in a certain way as inspiration.
Yeah.
And I think hip hop is rooted in sampling. I mean, hip hop from the start, you sample songs from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could name a bunch of songs right now that are sampled from old soul songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but there also are songs that are mainstream now that essentially copy old songs, which mm-hmm. is over the line. But it's good to be influenced. Like, no music can be completely original. Sound, unless you go all the way back to the first person who ever made a sound or made some type of, you know, musical element.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be some building off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I try to really incorporate my influences into my music.
Yeah. Yeah, and listeners will definitely see that in you and recognize, oh, people are passing by. Hello.
Hi, people. Hi.
They're doing tours.
Hi.
Oh, he's still looking.
He's looking. Hi. Oh, no. We're on air. Nice seeing you.
Yeah. What if you'll be famous one day, and then that guy's going to be like, wow, Wolf was raised.
I don't know about that guy.
That guy
looked like, I don't know if that guy's a hip-hop fan or not. Maybe he is.
I don't know.
I don't want to judge me, because people look at me and think I'm country music, so I probably shouldn't judge him.
Yeah, you never know.
He might be the biggest hip hop head ever.
You never know.
You never know.
But yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it was really awesome for you to be here. The WGMU community is definitely here to support you and your music.
Thank you.
So expect your music to be in Aughts in our music software system.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sometime next week, it'll be up. So we're going to do a freestyle challenge to put Wolf on the test.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be all about Halloween, okay?
Oh, no.
And everything Halloween. Just think of ghosts, pumpkins, pumpkin patches, clowns, all that, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Everything I'm terrified of.
Yeah, just think of your worst fear.
How about this?
Can we make a
bargain?
Okay, deal.
All right, how about... maybe the presidential election.
Oh, okay, sweet. That's actually really scary.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's equally scary. So
yeah, yeah. You could like do a comparison, some sort of poetry simile stuff with Donald Trump and bats or something. I don't know, vampires. But yes, let's do that. We're gonna play a little instrumental over it, and
All right, we'll see
how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.